This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Today is Remembrance Sunday, an opportunity for us all as a nation to remember the service and sacrifice of all those that have defended our freedoms and protected our way of life. Formal services will be held today all over the United Kingdom, of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, to commemorate the contribution of British and Commonwealth military and civilian servicemen and women in all conflicts since the start of the First World War. Today we're remembering all those who have lost their lives as a result of war. Someone last week sent in a request for a well-known piece of music. I hadn't heard it for a while, so I listened to it, and my heart grew so heavy and full I thought it would burst, for it's probably the most poignant and moving piece of music ever written. It was composed by John Williams for the film Schindler's List. It's both a tribute and a lament for those 6 million or more victims who died when evil ran rampant through Nazi Germany in the Second World War. What we all saw in that film was mild in comparison to what those poor people really suffered. The reality was, in fact, far worse, so much so that certain cruel acts which have been reported were not filmed because they would have caused too much distress to the audience. War should make our hearts heavy indeed. As we listen to this melody, played by Itzhak Perlman, let us also remember all the countless billions of victims of conflicts, soldiers and civilians from countries all over the world who've suffered and still suffer untold horrors and unimaginable cruelty. It's essential, and it's right to remember and honour the courage of all those whose lives have been destroyed just because of war and who can no longer tell their story. That was renowned violinist Itzhak Perlman there, living and breathing every single note. An American poet and writer called Eve Merriam once said, "I dream of giving birth to a child who will ask, 'Mother, what was war?' Oh, that we could live in a world where people live in peace with one another and their memories are pleasant ones rather than things of nightmares and anxieties." Let's listen to Bette Midler this time from another film called For the Boys, where she plays US Forces favourite Dixie Leonard, bringing a very special moment of peace on her tour to soldiers' troubled spirits. They all fall suddenly silent as she sings a song which stirs memories of happier times with those they've known and loved. She sings, "All these places have their moments. With lovers and friends I still can recall. Some are dead and some are living, but in my life I've loved them all."
There are places I remember. some have changed, some forever, not for better, and some have gone, and some remain. All these places have their moments. With lovers and friends, I still can recall. Some are dead and some are living. In my life, I love them all. But of all these friends and lovers, there is no one compares with you. And these memories lose their meaning when I think of love as something new. Though I know I'll never ever lose affection
I check Facebook most days as I keep in touch with friends and former pupils who are now middle-aged, but recently some heartbreaking but inspiring videos have kept on popping up which advertise the Veterans Lottery. These videos are so moving. They show injured veterans recalling their experience of the traumas of war. They remember fallen friends and they weep for them openly. They tell how they've dealt with their disabilities and their mental health problems since then. They explain how they still struggle and how hard it is for them to open up and share how they're feeling. So how do they cope back in the real world when they're no longer in touch with comrades they once knew so well, and when they feel that all the good they tried to achieve has now been undone in so many ways? I know that the Royal British Legion, the Veterans Foundation, the Veteran Gateway, the RAF Benevolent Fund and the NHS, to name but a few, have a whole range of programmes to support the physical and mental well-being of members of the armed forces, veterans and their families. But could even more be done by way of support? Help is there for them, but they may be too damaged or even too proud to grasp it with both hands. There's nothing more comforting, is there, than to have a friend alongside when you're in trouble, someone who understands and takes time to come alongside to listen when you have something you really need to share. The late David Watson used to tell of how there was nothing better when playing rugby and running for a try than to hear someone right there at your side yelling, "With you!" As a Christian, I believe that God walks alongside us through troubled times, and he whispers those words to us through such people who offer us their support. Here's Carole King with "You've Got a Friend."
When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, and nothing is gone, and soon I will be there. got a friend.
Remembrance Sunday comes around each year and our country is caught up in services, moving ceremonies, brass bands and cascading poppies and so on. What really goes through the minds of these servicemen and women? What drew them into serving their country? What did it feel like travelling to a war zone for the first time, leaving families and all things familiar behind them, not knowing whether they would be returning home? And what did they hope they were going to achieve out there in a foreign country? And did prayer or any particular reading or writing or piece of poetry mean something to them? I remember a lovely chat I had with my stepfather who served in the army in World War II. He was ill in hospital in the 90s, and just before he died, he made it clear to me he was not a man of faith. But there on his bedside, I noticed his old army Bible was at hand, which I found strange. So before I left the hospital that day, I asked if I could pray with him, and he nodded his head. As I spoke out Psalm 23, he joined in with me, and he knew every single word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's listen to Stuart Townend's version of that song.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. My ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his
I can't even begin to imagine the amount of anxiety that families go through on both sides of a war when one of their own is involved in active service, or their distress when they're given bad news. But to go through all this and actually be on the field of battle and lose close friends must be horrendous. It must be hell on earth. And what about damage done to faith and innocence under fire when faced with the realities of war? What about the poverty that envelops countries once a conflict is over? More and more innocent civilians now die than ever before as modern warfare becomes more and more sophisticated. And we ask ourselves, where or where is God in all this? There are no winners in war, really, are there? Apart from those who make weapons and profit from them, I suppose. The big question for us all today is, when does war become absolutely necessary? Reverend Michael Bourne wrote about a man who asked that very question as a result of his experience in World War I in his book, The One Big Question. Let me read to you a section of it. If you'd been in the trenches in First World War, you wouldn't believe in God either, said a man called Jim, who always avoided contact with me as rector of the parish. Although his wife was a lovely Christian and a member of our church, she had told me that he said these words repeatedly. Now he had accidentally bumped into me. The words came out like a recorded announcement on a train. So I said to him, Jim, I've seen a great many photographic records, read many first-hand accounts, and I've seen the reconstructions in the Imperial War Museum making me hurry outside before I was sick. But surely, I said to him, the war should have made you cease to believe in man, not God. The year was 1968, half a century after the war that scarred Jim so deeply had ended, and the block against God had been in Jim's ears all the time. To his wife's delight and mine, Jim could finally see the point, and he found faith once more. Words there of Michael Bourne. A friend of mine called Pete Scott wrote this next song. Here he is singing it for us. It's called Faith Don't Fail Me Now.
I've been trying on my own, been almost done and nearly dying on my own, alone and never coming to believe, refusing to receive the gifts you offer to me. To ride the highway in the night means riding blindly like a child into the night, while never wondering accept the death you suffered for me. When my lock and key mentality was close to tearing down the line from you to me, and I can't see or bend my knee to bow,
faith don't fail me now.
When I'm full of my thinking only of my own pain and its relief, in a world that's always moving, never still, and I forget the hill you climb to set me free. When I can't go on, hope seems gone, I see the tree you're hanging on. How I hurt you, but you love me.
It makes me think that to be on a battlefield surrounded by so much hatred and aggression, it must be exactly how Jesus must have felt when he was on the cross. At his most vulnerable moment, in such pain, enduring such scorn, stripped of all he possessed, he cried out to God, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." I'm playing this next song for a very special former pupil of mine who served in Afghanistan. He once played the part of Jesus in our school play. As he acted out the crucifixion scene and listened to this song, He told me later that he felt emotionally moved, as if there was an aura all around him. Here's that song, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
It was noon when darkness came upon the land, and everything was gloomy until three. Sunlight failed, the veil was torn in two, and all around was eerie, and our hearts, they failed us too, as a voice came drifting softly, moaning like the wind. This he said, and then we heard him breathe his last. We heard a soldier say this was God's son. We hung our heads and wept aloud with shame, so sorry for the slaughter and appalled at what we'd done. Then a wind came drifting softly, moaning like his voice, crying,
Father,
Father,
into your hands, I commend my spirit.
To actually be caught up in war and come through it and survive what follows back in the real world is a big achievement in itself, is it not? An American general called Omar Bradley, one of the leading figures in World War II, is known to have said, "Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. We know more about war than living. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount." Surely the real enemy is not our fellow man, but the evil that inflames our most base instincts. Paul describes it like this in Ephesians 6. "Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." I'd like to end our programme today with a few prayers on this Remembrance Sunday. Please pray with me as you feel able. Let us recall before God those who have given their lives in the cause of freedom and justice and in the service of others. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Heavenly Father, we remember today all those who suffered and died as a result of conflict all over the world, the injured, the maimed, the disfigured, and those whose everyday existence has been marred by painful memories, sleepless nights and flashbacks. We pray for those who find it hard to enter normal life again, for any who are consumed by feelings of guilt or fear for their future, and for those who are struggling to cope right now. We remember today those whose faith is being tested, and for those whose faith in God has been completely destroyed as a result of war. We also pray for the many innocent civilians caught up in conflicts who've been driven to despair, who've had to flee for their lives, living each day in constant danger and in terrible conditions. And we pray for our world leaders, that they may be given godly wisdom, integrity and humility in their decision making. Jesus commanded us to pray for those who are our enemies, but let us also bear in mind that to our enemies, we are the tyrants, the ones their families are afraid of. Let us pray that justice may prevail throughout the world and for an end to oppressive regimes which stifle justice and freedom. O Lord, bring your peace to the troubled people of our world. Amen. This is Sheila Hamill, along with Andrew Ridgwick, my technician, saying goodbye until next week.
Bye, everyone.
May God bless you all, wherever you are, and whatever your circumstances. Bye for now.
When the dark wood fell before me, and all the paths were overgrown, when the breeze of pride say there is no other way, I tilled the sorrows of stone. I did not believe because I could not see, though you came to me. Seemed forever lost, you showed me your love in the light of the stars. Cast your eyes on the ocean, cast your soul to the sea, where my dark night seems endless. Please remember me. Before me, by the deep well of desire, from the fountain of forgiveness, beyond the ice and the fire, cast your eyes on the ocean, cast your soul to the sea, where my dark night seems endless. Please remember.